Of worship in the name of Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Sherry, I'm going to ask, could we, for opening set, just sing that first song, and then we'll move into the offering and prayer time later. I'm just trying to set it up that we have enough time. I don't feel so rushed going through the praying through your day points, which I think this week give us some traction for some faith action. If you're a guest among us today, we offer a special welcome to you and invite you to complete that yellow communication card that's in the worship folder that we might follow up and celebrate your presence among us. Also, just a quick note, Diane Cuomo had 9 complimentary tickets to the Pennsylvania Auto Show, and there's 8 of them are gone now. There's still 1 left, so if someone wants that, here it is. It's sort of a door prize for coming to worship. So, anyone want it right now? Okay, it's down here on the, here it is. So let's go back and praise God, and then we'll move into our teaching for today as we go through 40 days of prayer.
So Psalm 150 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And as we've moved through this 40 days of prayer, we've been talking a lot about the different names of God and how all of us respond to God depending on what that name is. Some of us respond more to one than the other. We talk about Creator God, Savior, Healer, Comforter, Shepherd, and something that we talk about every now and then in worship is the name of Yahweh. God is Yahweh. And a few months ago, I shared a video teaching that I found where it was taught that the Jewish people find the name of Yahweh to be so holy that they can't even speak it. And so they breathe it instead of speaking it. So it sounds like this. If you think about that, church, from the first breath that we take when we come from our mother's womb until the day that we pass from this life on earth into our eternity, we are constantly breathing the name of God, the name of Yahweh. Will you breathe that with me? Do that again. Breathe in Yahweh. 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 God.
Creator God, He is Yahweh. The great I am, He is Yahweh. The Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Was of Sharon, He is Yahweh. The righteous Son, He is Yahweh. The 3-in-1, He is Yahweh.
Who is moving? Sing with me. Who is holding up the moon? Who is peeling back the darkness with the burning light of new?
the bitter into sweet. The weird story of my passion, who is rising up in me, who is filling up my hunger with everything I need.
Creator God.
Creator God, He is Yahweh. The great I am, He is Yahweh. The Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Rose up Sharon, He is Yahweh. The righteous one, He is Yahweh. The free in one, He is Yahweh.
Before you this morning with open hearts, grateful to be called your children and to know that you are our good, good Father. We come to worship and adore you, Lord. I pray that you would bring us focus on this day and that we would put away the distractions that happen outside of this room. But as we come together, just let us be drawn in and enveloped in your Holy Spirit. Thank you for each person that has come through the door this morning. And I thank you, God, that you meet each of us right where we need you to. We don't have to be at the same place on this journey. You meet us each right where we are. You are Yahweh, the three in one, the Rose of Sharon, our Savior, our Comforter, our Keeper, and our God. And we love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray all these things. Amen. You can be seated.
I'm not sure if, Adam is here. Adam, you want to come on in? I'd like to have Terry put up a couple slides here. There's a ministry I'm going to talk about here. It's called Hope for Angola. And some slides that Terry's going to move through here will show some pictures of this ministry. They're constructing a new school, and I became aware of this. And they're also working with a variety of Christian ministries around the world. The gentleman on the right there, if we just go back quickly, in the gray suit, his name is Gomes Pedro. You'll see a couple more shots of him coming up, kneeling with children. There Gomes is with some relief supplies. And a couple more. There he is on the left-hand side, kneeling with children. Gomes is an ordained pastor, and he's actually in a year-long residency program, clinical pastoral education program at York Hospital. I'm in the extended unit, as most of you know, learning how to be a better pastor and pastoral caregiving and exploring chaplaincy ministry. October through April is my term, the extended term. There is adjacent to us, or at the same time, there's a year long term for those that are in a residential phase, serving as residents in the trauma hospital context so that they can go on for national certification. That's where I met Gomes back in October. And by the end of October, he had introduced me to the Hope for Angola ministry that he and several of his colleagues from Angola, now living in America, U.S. citizens, have started. In Angola, unless you have money, you don't get access to education. There's no such thing as public education. So he and others had it laid on their heart to use the benefits they've received economically and materially in America to start this ministry and to build a school in Angola for 500-600 children in the local communities. They will have dormitories there as well for those that live a distance away. They can become residents and be educated, and also to have educational opportunities throughout the day for citizens, residents of different tribes in the area, that they can learn and maybe learn English as a second language and learn capabilities. So it's really a cool ministry. And when I asked Gomes about it, I said, so what are your needs? The needs were listed up there in one of the prior slides. And he said, the construction is well on its way to nearing completion. We don't have any furnishings, school desks. And so I called Adam Hoover, who's a member here. And Adam is employed at Mission Central as their communications director and also director of development. And that has a God story as well. Adam and I were meeting one day. He was talking about sense of a call beyond his current role at the time as an insurance adjuster. He had a communications background, and in the midst of it, I'm like, hold on. I need to make a phone call. I think maybe God's making a connection. I had just learned a week before, about a part-time communications opening over there, and we made a connection in that moment. Adam ended up interviewing for the job, now serves in that ministry context, and later on, we need desks, and I'm like, I know who to call. Adam, you pick up the story there.
Good morning. So Troy called me up one day and wanted to know if we had school desks. We get all sorts of requests for all sorts of items there, and I had seen a few in the warehouse, and I thought that's what we had, and that might help him out. I didn't realize the scope of what was going on at first, but when I checked, I found out that we had a tractor trailer in our parking lot. It's been sitting there for 2 years, full of school desks, conference tables, chairs, you name it. There's several hundred desks in there at least, and they were available to whoever wanted them. So at Mission Central, everything we have is donated, and we give everything away. So I called Troy. He came over, and we inspected the load, and then we called Gomes, and he came in, and we toured the facility, checked out the cargo here, and we also identified numerous other things that were needed that could be included in the shipment. Refrigerators, microwaves, kitchen appliances. They talked about having dormitory facilities, so we were able to connect them with a lot of resources, I think, that will really help the school get up and running.
Yeah. As we were touring through, how many refrigerators? They're brand-new refrigerators and stuff that Gomes said, we could use that and that.
We have a local distributor that will call us periodically, and he might say, I've got 100 refrigerators, and the only catch is we have to come get them ourselves. So that's a pretty fair price to pay.
Yeah.
But we had just gotten in a pallet of microwaves and a pallet of refrigerators when Gomes was coming through. And then actually on Friday, he emailed me and asked about things like unlocked cell phones or prepaid cell phones, photocopiers, printers, things like that. So we are going to make those connections on Monday when he stops in. We do have phones and some other computer equipment for him, which I almost forgot. He also needs computers, and we have a computer ministry at Mission Central who take donated computers, laptops, accessories, and what they'll do is make brand new computers out of the materials they're given, and we're sending 20 desktop computers in this load. We're also adding in some new laptops and some other equipment that would help them get started.
If we go back to a picture of Gomes there, Terry, he will actually be here on March 11th to preach at three services. He's headed to Angola January 30th, this coming Wednesday or so, and is doing some check-in inspection over there, and then we'll be back about the 10th of February. But we need your help. How many do you think we're up to, about eight people or nine?
We have about 8 or 10 people who can lift and a couple others who are willing to.
And Eric Houston told me just a moment ago that you can add him to the list.
I just added him.
Okay,
good.
So on Tuesday morning, February 6th, at Mission Central, which is just a stone's throw away on 114, almost right into the borough of Mechanicsburg, 8:15, we need a few more people to come out that are able-bodied, men or women. We won't ask you to do anything that's going to break your back or jeopardize your health. There's a shipping container arriving either the night before or early that morning, a big, big giant shipping container.
40-foot container, I think.
40-foot container that'll go on a shipping cargo ship. It costs about $4,500 for the shipping to occur. It seems like a lot, but when you're getting the resources for free and you're shipping it all the way by ocean, Atlantic Ocean to Angola, that's pretty significant. They come in, and at 8:30, we start loading. Now, Mission Central will coordinate with their forklift and whatever what needs to be loaded, but we do need hands on deck. It sounds like we have about 10 of those right now. We're hoping to 12 to maybe 15. So if anyone here could find some time, Tuesday morning, February 6th, 8:15, we have a two-hour window to load, and we want to load it in 2 hours because once it hits beyond that, there's a penalty, a loading penalty of about, I think he told me, like $400 or $500
an hour,
that kicks in. So we want to load it in 2 hours so the truck can pick it up, take it down that afternoon to Baltimore, load it on the ship that night, and within 36 hours is that ship has all those coordinations occurring to different parts of Africa and wherever else they'll exit the port. So just a great opportunity. Gomes keeps saying to me, Troy, I can't wait for the day where you and your people there can come visit Angola and maybe even help teach in the school or whatever as part of a missions opportunity. So lifelong connections could be made through this. So Adam won't be here after worship because he's been here through the prior, but after worship, if you want to add your name to that list, use one of the offering envelope things in the pew, write your name down, give it to me. Don't tell it to me because I guarantee you I'll forget it. But give it to me, and I'll add that to Adam's list as we get underway. Tuesday, February 6th, 8:15 a.m. for an 8:30 loading.
And we have a lot of volunteer opportunities at Mission Central, but this is a unique one where, at least in my mind, I like these, where you can do some work, and you'll find out in March when he comes back exactly who you helped, how you helped them, and you'll see, I call it kind of the full circle. So if you can come out that morning, we'd love to have you. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's offer for the ministries of Christ here and through our connection, God's tithes and our offerings.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need
week four, beginning week four of 40 Days of Prayer. How we've been doing that is we take a few moments now to sort of set the table for this week's specific teaching and prayer growth stretching. And then following our time of prayer together here in the sanctuary, I'll come back and offer those specifics. Week four, how to pray throughout your day. How to pray throughout your day. Paul begins most all of his writings with a prayer. And in one little action-packed verse, Ephesians 6:18, Paul gives seven instructions on prayer. He says, pray in the Spirit, pray at all times. Third thing, pray with all kinds of prayers. Pray asking for everything you need. The fifth thing he says is, always be ready to pray. Never give up praying. And pray for all God's people. A lot of stuff packed in one little verse. That's why I'm lifting up in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 the statement of Paul, never stop praying. Pray all the time. Well, how in the world would I get anything else done if I'm praying all the time? I mean, when I grew up, the image I had of prayer and what seemed to be modeled or taught was you pray in your prayer closet. You pray in those holy of holy moments of deep despair or great gratitude. And it's a moment where I almost had the sense when you really are praying with and connected with God, you could hear angels singing and archangels just offering the descant. Beautiful descant and bells ringing and the ground shaking and a sign like a bush on a fire. But that type of prayer isn't much reality. Paul in Romans 12:1, it's a verse I hope you're familiar with in our journey together these last several years. Paul says, here's what I want you to do. You know the verse? God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're going to work, eating, sleeping, walking around life, and make it an... Thank you, Jack. It's cool to see a young man complete it and make it an offering to God. That's a prayer life, too. I'm not saying those deep, intentional, holy moments, those closet prayers, those prayers in deep darkness and distress shouldn't be part of your prayer life. Of course they should be. But don't be expecting the lightning bolts and the archangels singing and the descant and the bells and whistles. It's a relationship. And most relationships have a lot more ordinary, regular time than they do the mountain high times or the mountain low. It's like breathing. Prayer can become as natural to you and me as breathing, talking to God all the time. So how can I always be ready to pray? How can I construct a plan to pray? How can I be prepared to pray? How indeed do I even begin praying throughout the day? Well, I think a first key step is consider prayer in a large part to be a running, ongoing conversation with God. It's a running, ongoing thing with God. Well, so what would that look like? Well, I'm going to ask a question. You'll think I'm doing a mental health exam here, but it's not really that. In the last week, how many of you have caught yourself talking to yourself? Is that all? Come on, let's. I'm not forcing you to say yes, but how many of you have caught yourself talking to yourself? Wow, thank you. I was getting worried. I'm thinking this is the abnormal gathering. 8 o'clock and 9:30, it was like 99%. Now, maybe you don't talk to yourself, and that's okay. That's not for me to get into, but I'll give you a couple examples of, I talk to myself a lot. I say, man, Troy, you really messed that one up. Or, Troy, where did you put the keys? Where did I might not even be calling myself by name. I'm saying I'm talking, where did I put the keys? Or, man, I can't believe a mess I made of this just because I couldn't keep my mouth shut. Troy, when will you ever learn? And now you got to do a lot of cleanup because of what you... Or sometimes I talk to myself and say, I can't believe I just did that. Or I don't want to have to do this, or I'm afraid to do it. Sometimes I talk to myself and say, I think I can. The little engine that could. I think I can do this. Sometimes I talk to myself and say, I know I can. Sometimes I talk to myself and say, I'm lonely. I need to do a better job of taking care of myself. When you're talking to yourself, chances are you're in touch with something that deeply matters to you or is extremely important for you. Do you think that's probably a fair assessment, fair statement? If you're wrapped around the axle in your head with it, or you're thinking about a lot, or you're hurting about a lot, or feeling deeply about it, it probably matters to you. Even something like, where did I put the keys? I have a little board I put inside the house, right inside the garage, that has a sign that says, keys here, Troy. And you know, 50% of the time, the keys don't end up there. I'm well-intended, but I don't quite get there. So when I want my keys, guess what? I'm never hunting my keys when I don't need them. Isn't that weird how that happens? I'm hunting my keys when I'm 2 minutes behind getting out the door. Everything that we're thinking and feeling and talking to ourselves about, it matters. So I'm going to give you a very small teaching pivot here that will help your prayer life exponentially. That's like a lot, far more than double. 2 times 2 is 4, but 2 to the 10th power is a heck of a lot more than 4. Here's the pivot. If it matters to you enough that you hear yourself talking about it, whether you're fretting, beating yourself up, doubting, rejoicing, like, wow, I did well with that. That's okay too. Make a very small pivot. Here's the pivot. Change the I or your name, Troy, and include your God. Small teaching, big dimension difference. Think about that. God, what a mess I made of this. What's that immediately do? Excuse me. What's that immediately do? Opens up a whole new channel of communication and growth. God, why can't I learn not to be yapping away in a way that has caused now a lot of cleanup? It opens the way to me hearing what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. How about it opens up to God, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know that I want to do this. It opens up a dimension beyond yourself. It opens up a relationship that can be communicated throughout the day, a running conversation with God. Next time you hear yourself talking to yourself, that's not a bad thing. I actually think that's a pretty healthy thing when you're talking to yourself. A lot of times yourself is debriefing, trying to keep you in check or try to encourage or try to give you an outlet for your fears or your hopes or your joys. And it's not an excuse to say, well, I don't feel like praying. Well, you aren't talking or praying to God if you aren't telling God what you feel and what you fret and what you think and what you need. You see, an ongoing conversation is really to be the child with the Father and to be open to the Father with the child. So how do I pray through the day? Consider a running conversation and do the small pivot and replace I and your name with the things you're ruminating with and put God in there and say, God, what say you? What do you teach me here? Second thing is schedule prayer times throughout my day. We'll get to this in a moment after our prayer time here. Rick Warren had a teaching point here, said clocks were invented for times of prayer. I didn't have time this week, literally just ran out of time and energy to check that. There's part of me that thinks Rick Warren maybe is stretching that to make a point that clocks were invented for prayer, because I remember reading about sundials in Egypt and all kinds of other early timekeeping apparatus and inventions. It might be very true. I don't know. But I want to offer a pastoral word at this point. We have 265 adults in faith growth groups through this 40 days of prayer. That's significant. We have another 76 children and probably 40 or 50 youth being impacted by the 40 days of prayer study. I want to offer this word. I've gotten feedback from some of the groups that some of Rick Warren's teachings and formulas can come across to them as a bit too easy, a bit too, if I pull this lever and do this, it's all going to crank out and work okay. And it's causing some people to spin a little bit in the groups and think, I'm not praying right, or if I am, then there's something wrong about me because I'm not doing it right. And it's caused a few people to think, have I been doing it wrong all along? That's not the point of this study, okay? If you get to the point where you think you need to beat yourself up because you missed the mark, that's not the point of this. And I would offer this, as great as Rick Warren is, as a wonderful vessel as he's been of Christ, Rick Warren is limited in how he can present and how he sees things. He has blind spots, just like any of us do. Head of the list. Don't take a human being as your model. That's a slippery slope, and you'll always be disappointed or end up frustrated. Jesus is our example, and it's okay to cry out to him no matter where you've been. This is a growth stage. This is not a beat-up stage or a stage of frustration or a teaching time to say, okay, now I know all the mechanisms. Okay, this is what I do, and I get the results. That's not what this study's about. So please take that back to your groups and assure them. It's okay to trust in the Spirit, to trust in Rick Warren's gifts, and also to know that all teachings have limitations, but the Holy Spirit does not. We come to a time of prayer. And I'll return in a few moments to the teachings of praying throughout the day. We come to a time of prayer, and there's two prayer blankets up here. One is for Brenda, dealing with health issues. And the other is for Maya, with a leukemia, sudden leukemia diagnosis this week. Maya Shapiro is a 15-year-old among us. We at Aldersgate, many of us have known Maya for a good 8 solid years in different contexts. And Maya has begun to blossom into a beautiful young lady with a lot of hopes and gifts and dreams. She wants to be a psychology major. She already has some colleges identified, and she thinks deeply and reflects deeply, and was summoned from school on Wednesday when a family physician called Angie and Ken and said, go get your daughter, bring her to Hershey. We have a leukemia diagnosis, and there's a bed waiting. You talk about life-changing in moments. She hadn't been feeling well for a couple weeks, but none of this was expected. We lift up Chris and Kenny as well. And Maya will receive this blanket. Once this blanket is properly washed and cleaned, it'll be able to enter her room. I've been privileged with Maya's permission and Ken and Angie's permission, and they're here. Ken and Angie are with us this morning to spend some time, a couple times, with Maya. She thinks deeply, and she cares even more deeply for others. She wants to protect people. She has great concern for others. This young lady, this little child of God, is in a very overwhelming place. And I encourage you to march your footprints up here, and whether you get to the blanket or not, but just to come to the cross and know that God, who overcame that cross, is here to deliver through this. You can use the blue prayer cards to come as well and bring joys, thanksgivings, concerns, intercessions. For this is the moment where we are truly one in the Spirit. Let us pray.
Living.
Father, Paul teaches us in Romans that you intercede for us. When words can't be mustered, in the depth of our pain or our sorrow, and even the depth of our joy is so great we just can't articulate it. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to pray as we should or could in those moments. So we lean into your promise that your Spirit intercedes for us, and that we have an advocate, Jesus, at the right hand of your presence, you good, good Father, and that you weep with us. Intervene, intercede, and make it safe. As those receiving these prayer blankets need to articulate what they're experiencing, their deepest concerns and their greatest longings and hopes. I thank you, Lord, that Angie and Ken have sought your safe sanctuary of presence here this morning. Lord, it gives them some space, gives Maya some space, and reminds us all that you are connecting with us, that each one receives this news and journeys through in our own unique ways and according to our own relationships we have one with another. We praise you, Lord, that the early chemo treatments have beat down the cancer numbers, the active cancer blast cells. We praise you for that. Lord, we praise you for so much in the midst of this news and the daunting task of moving into it. Intercede for us. We look upon this situation and other situations in our community, the opioid fentanyl crisis and all the destruction it's bringing. Another church family was impacted by that this week. Actually, two different families. Lord, the brokenness abounds. All the new levels of the stock market don't take away the reality of the brokenness of life. The good things that happen on the soil that we call America doesn't take away from the bad things happening here either, or the struggle and challenge around the world. So intercede for us, Lord. Give us hope when we are too weary to have hope. And help us to collapse and surrender into your faithfulness. We're desperate for you. But what a good, good Father you always are. Thank you for that presence. In Christ's name, amen. Here's a pattern for praying throughout the day. There's a lot of alliteration here. I don't expect that the majority of you will take this and apply this model to your life. If it works for you and calls you to it, absolutely lean into it. If not, enter these teaching moments and say, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? Give me a starting point and give me some traction for some Jesus action in my life. Step one, how do I pray through the day? Get up with gratitude. Have an attitude of gratitude. I have some friends in my life who say, one guy specifically said, Troy, every day I'm able to get out of my bed and my feet hit the floor. I literally say, thank you, God, for giving me a morning and a chance for my body to move. Does that sound like a gratitude prayer? That's not a dismissive prayer. That's a gratitude prayer. And it helps us stay in touch with what matters. Because we can have all the money and material gain, but if you can't get out of bed, you don't have the breath of life, you don't have the physical strength to do it, or the mental disposition to get you to do it. You've gained possessions but lost your soul, Jesus says. Get up with gratitude. How many of you, is that a growing edge area for you? That might be all the traction for action you need today. That might be a big enough thing that the Spirit's given you to work on. Well, here's the good news. Most of us probably have 7 days to work on it before we get here next week. Get up with gratitude. How many of you get up grumpy? This is a day the Lord has made to surrender it. How many of you get up thinking, I don't want to go to work? And how many people are getting up with gratitude saying, Lord God, I'm at least thankful that given all I've been through, I have the mental wherewithal and the physical strength to go look for a job. A couple of you shaking heads. I've walked with you this year as you've gone through that. Get up with gratitude. What's Paul saying, 1 Corinthians 4:7? Would you read it with me together? What do you have that God did not give you? Everything is a gift from God. And if it was given to you, how can you brag about it? How can you not give thanks for it? And if we don't give thanks, an attitude of gratitude, we end up very quickly becoming pretty self-centered and self-convicted and convinced that we're the best thing. We are God's gift to the world, to everybody else. That's why I believe it's essential for us to teach each other and practice that humility is probably one of the greatest characteristics of Jesus. Philippians 2. He humbled himself and took on sin and darkness that wasn't his so that we might have gain. He didn't count his equivalency with the Father as God so much that he said, I can't deal with this. He humbled himself. What did he do at the disciples' feet? He humbled himself. Repeatedly, humility. When we practice getting up with gratitude, God builds our humility and we become a more fragrant offering for Jesus in our everyday, ordinary lives. You show me someone who says, I know Jesus, I've been saved, and they are braggadocious, arrogant, full of themselves, condescending, indifferent, and I'll show you someone, this is a bold statement, I'll show you someone who doesn't know Jesus. Because I challenge you, sit down with me, let's go through the scriptures of Jesus, and you tell me where humility isn't present. While Jesus is showing you it's overflowing. It is a key mark of the Spirit, and we should hold each other accountable to that. It's a dangerous thing for a pastor to do. How many years have you been hearing me do that? A lot of them. It's dangerous. Why is it dangerous for me to do that? Huh? Vulnerable, and guess what? I'm making myself accountable.
We're watching you.
Yeah, every move you make, every breath you take, the police, every step you take, I'll be watching you. And when I do that, who holds me accountable? I remember, Sherry, early on, I remember you calling me one day after we had a visioning session, said, Troy, you told us when your words are a little insensitive. I don't know if you remember that. I wasn't in that moment intentionally trying to hurt, but in my own ignorance, I was just rolling on and hurt. I needed to hear. Well, I didn't. She forgot about it, but I didn't. See? An attitude of gratitude. leads to humility. In church, it's time that we stop tolerating and excusing non-humility in someone who says they know Jesus. It should not cut it with us. But it's dangerous because then guess who you're exposing? But that's the call of the gospel. Here's a pattern for prayer. Get up with gratitude. If that's not a growing edge for you, say you already get up and it's like, hey, another day the Lord has made. No matter what you're facing, God, what do you have for us today? Thank you for the breath. The next one is bless at breakfast. How many of you do not eat breakfast? How many of you don't eat breakfast? You know that's not good for you. That's what my doctor tells me all the time. I'm too busy for breakfast. That's not good for you physically. It's important. Well, blessing the Father at breakfast is equally important spiritually. What do you mean? Who am I to bless? I thought God blesses me. Blessing is giving something that they need. What does God need from me? Well, God doesn't need anything from us, but in a healthy relationship, the Father receives adoration and gratitude for who He is. Have you ever been given a special relational gift from someone? Someone said a very kind word to you, unexpected. Or maybe just met you and served you in a key moment. You're like, your response is, thank you. Bless you. God bless you. It's not just for the sneeze. It's a bless. God bless you. God bless you. It's a heart cry, isn't it? Bless the Father at breakfast. Matthew 6:9, hallowed be your name. When we revere and respect someone's action toward us, we hallow them. And a blessing follows quickly behind. Every day I will bless your name and praise it forever. So remember, bless at breakfast. Anyone have any growing edge areas that the Spirit's trying to give you some traction for action this week? Get up with gratitude, bless at breakfast. Number three, mid-morning matters. Mid-morning matters. What's your current mid-morning ritual? Years ago, mine used to be in the day of true newspapers, I would get the newspaper and for 10, 15 minutes just glance at the box scores or the sports thing before I'd return back. Sort of a quick break refresher. What's your mid-morning matter? Refilling coffee? Going to a break room? Going to the restroom? Checking in with a loved one? Enslaved to your phone, maybe? Someone at the 8 o'clock service said, how's that fit for me? My mid-morning routine is a nap. Well, God bless you. That's okay. In your mid-morning matter, as you get ready to take a nap, ask God what really matters. What matters is God's agenda, not mine. Would you read with me Matthew 6:10? May your kingdom come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you and I focus on what matters to God, that's what matters to us, and we become aligned with God's purpose. If you seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness will be added to you. We get aligned with the Father when we focus on what matters with God. And what matters with God is often different from what matters to me in the moment. God says we're to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. You see, we're not here just to consume Christ or have Christ for our convenience of covering our sin. We're here to be Christ compasses and Christ ambassadors in the world that others will taste and see the Lord's goodness. What matters in our salvation, because everything else has been taken care of, forgiveness of sin, east from the west, remember that? It's removed. Our eternity is secured. What matters now is the work of the kingdom. Lunch, Here's a pattern for your prayer through the day. Lunch, list your needs. What you need in life, and I would add that's not here, what others have in their needs as well. Allow God to use your lunch list to expand you beyond you and our own appetite. Read with me Matthew 6:11, a short part of the prayer of the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread, sustenance, a need. We need daily nourishment. Well, God, what I'd really like is that blueberry raisin blackberry muffin. Sounds sort of healthy there with all those berry stuff, right? And then sprinkled with glazed melted chocolate, warmed to a medium temperature, and then a hot cup of coffee with sufficient cream and sugar just to make it just right for me. That's not a need. That's a... Yeah, you get it. It doesn't mean that I can't want that and enjoy it because it's part of God's creation, but lunch list your needs. And your needs may go back to some of these other things, what really matters. Lord, I'm so focused on what I want to get next and where I want to get next. I need you to bring your kingdom come to me now. Reset my sights. Lunch list your needs and the needs of others. If I ask for anything I need, what comes to your mind? Is it a need? Is it a want? Ask for others' needs too. That's called intercession. We're intervening on behalf of someone else, just like the Spirit's doing for us. 1 Samuel 12:23, a great verse. Read this one with me. I'd be sinning against the Lord if I failed to pray for you. Praying for you, someone else, implies praying for their needs, right? Not their wants, their needs. Well, wait a second. I was raised to think that sin had to do with a sexual act, that sin had to do with gossiping behind someone's back and destroying their character without them knowing it. Or sin had to do with just being focused on getting more money and more wealth. Is sin not praying for you? Ta-da! Sin is anything that separates us from God. We love to focus on the act that we think despicable. But anytime I'm separated from God's will, I'm in sin, even when I'm saved. But God wants to deliver us through with a lunch list of needs. Don't be anxious in anything. In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The peace of God, which transcends your understanding, God will guard your heart and your mind. Lunch list your needs. How do I pray through the day? How about this? I'm sorry, church, I couldn't get it out of my head all week long. I keep thinking Starland Vocal Band and their song from the 70s. I know. It's not good, is it? It isn't. I'm confessing that to you. In the afternoon, ask for forgiveness. Do an afternoon ask. Confess. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We know it, and we're educated beyond our level of obedience. We know it, but we're educated beyond our level of obedience. Earlier in the year, I did a focus on the Lord's Prayer and said, do you realize how dangerous this is when we say the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. I'm really asking God to forgive me to the level I forgive others. Forgive us our sins, or me my sins, as I forgive those who sin against us. Forgive me to the level I forgive them. Whoa. That sounds like an afternoon ask. Lord, help me to forgive. That's a lunch need. Help me to forgive as a kingdom citizen who's received forgiveness that can't be measured for my life. Now in the afternoon, I confess, Lord, I only want to give that much forgiveness to someone who's hurt me. And if I give them this much forgiveness, I want to remind them about it. You know, we come up with wacky things like, well, I can forgive you, but I can't. That's not scriptural. Doesn't mean that literally it goes out of our mind, of course. But as far as the East is from the West, afternoon asks. Dinner decisions, another praying through the day. You know, if I pray the same prayer for 5 years and I'm praying, Lord, help me think about the ripple effects my words are going to have right now. Help me think about that. And 5 years later, I'm praying the same thing and I've not grown and moved and matured a little bit. I probably miss the decision part in my prayer life. You see, a lot of us, we go back to God with the same things over and over and over and over and over, and we just pray ourselves in circles. But part of our prayer life is to decide to let God direct, to decide to let Jesus direct. Remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it. God wants to direct us onto a pathway of deliverance. But you got to decide, Lord, this gossiping issue I got, I got to decide to let you direct me to a new place or whatever the issue is. And finally, bedtime benediction. Pronouncing an encouraging truth. That's what a benediction is. It's pronouncing an encouraging truth. Psalm 103, we've experienced it as a modern-day praise song, haven't we? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. It's pronouncing an encouraging truth upon me. I'm not junk, no matter how I'm talking to myself. In frustration, God desires me as though I'm the only one that needs Jesus, just like He desires you. And then this great Aaronic, it's pronounced different ways. Aaron, the first priest, the first benediction in Scripture. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance on each of you. That means He's turning His face to you and me as though we're it. And the Lord grant you His peace. Wow, if you put that benediction by your bedside and you're speaking an encouraging truth to you before you go to bed, you might wake up with a little more gratitude. Let's look at the seven of them. Would you say them with me? Get up with gratitude. Bless at breakfast. Mid-morning matters. Lunch list your needs and others' needs. Ask forgiveness in the afternoon. Dinner decisions. Decide as God directs. Bedtime benediction. You might, maybe some of you will, and I encourage you, if it works for you, you'll make that your daily map to help you. But if not, have any of you been given a tap by the Holy Spirit in these moments to say, hey, here's a working prayer challenge for you? Any of you been given those? Take it and go into the world. And watch what God does as your relationship with God transforms who you are. So you can introduce others to the reality they have a good, good Father. That's who you are. And we're loved by you, God. That's who I am. Let us pray as the praise team goes forward. Lord God, we thank you for these teaching examples. We know that none of these in and of themselves become a ritual that makes us religious. It's just an invitation to deepen our relationship with you. So help us to take from this what you want us to work with, what you want us to practice, that we might become who you call us to be. I pray this, asking for all the humility of Jesus to be poured upon each of us, for people are watching. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise as able.
Is a strong and mighty tower.